verse 38 of Luke 10. Luke 10, 38. Now, it came to pass as they went. This is our Lord and His disciples. And most people believe that they were leaving Jerusalem, that they had been to Jerusalem to one of the feasts. The writers do not agree which feast it was, the Feast of the Tabernacle or the Feast of the Dedication. But nevertheless, they were leaving Jerusalem or some part of Judea. There was much religion in Jerusalem and Judea. You know that. Like now, there's much religion in this country, in this state, in this city. And the religion then, like now, was full of hustle and bustle and activity and ceremonies and rituals and debates and divisions and discord and all sorts of things. But he had left Jerusalem. Now the next phrase, that he entered into a certain village. Now this village was called Bethany. And this village was 2 miles from Jerusalem. Only 2 miles. They entered into this village called Bethany. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now this house in Bethany was the home of 3 people. It is believed that Martha was a widow. It's called her house. But we know that she lived there with her brother Lazarus and her sister Mary. There were 3 there. Our Lord made several visits to this little home in Bethany. You'll read about it in John 11. We'll turn there in a few moments, but not now. Now, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus were believers. They were truly believers. They believed that the Lord Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ. They believed that, all 3 of them. And Martha says here, Martha received him lovingly and kindly and wholeheartedly into her home. What was hers was his. She received him into her home. They have that saying in Mexico. I was visiting in a home in Progreso. A dear lady that I'd never met. Milton and Walter were with me. We went into her home, and she greeted us with this greeting: my house is your house. And they mean that if they say it. And that's the way Martha received our Lord into her home. My house is your house. Now, our Lord, in this verse 38, had left Jerusalem with all its religion, much ado about nothing, really, superstition, ritualism, legalism, all of these ceremonies. And he had come into this quiet little village, into a little town called Bethany. He left all the superstition and enmity and ignorance of Jerusalem, and he had entered into the home of people who really loved him, people who really believed him, people who really were his friends and his disciples. So before we go to the next verse, you get the picture, but remember this. There's going to be a lesson taught here, but even believers need to be taught lessons just as much as anyone else. And there's going to be some things done and some things said in this home that are very severe and very positive. So forget where he is. He's among friends. He's in the home of believers. So verse 39, and Martha, she was the mistress of the house. It was her house. Evidently, Lazarus and Mary, her younger sister, lived with her. But she had a sister called Mary. Now, turn with me to John 11. Now, hold this Luke 10 and just turn with me to John 11. Let's see about this Mary. She had a sister named Mary. Now, John 11, verse 1 and 2. Now, a certain man, John 11:1-2, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary, now here's who this is. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, John 12:1-3. John 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Mary served, Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So this is not the woman of Luke 7:37, the woman who, the harlot who came in when he was in the Pharisee's home. This is not the Mary. That's not her name. We're apt to confuse this if we're not careful, but it's not that woman. This is Mary. She also anointed his feet and dried them with her hair. But that's not the woman of Luke 7. So let's go back to Luke 10 now. But Mary was a loving disciple. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ. She believed him. Now back to our text, Luke 10:39. And Martha had a sister called Mary. I just told you about her. Now here, which also sat at Jesus' feet. That's where she was found all the time. Sitting at his feet. Doing what? Hearing his word. I see the Master sitting in a chair some way, and this dear woman is found at his feet. Just sitting there, looking into his face, hearing his word. It was there that she anointed his feet with costly ointment and unplanted her hair and dried his feet with her hair. She sat at his feet with great reverence. He was her sovereign Lord and King. She sat there with fear and awe and reverence. And that fear and that reverence just put her at his feet. Nobody told her to sit there. I'm sure he didn't. But her heart put her there. That's where she was found. She was just found at the Lord's feet all the time, sitting there, hearing his word, because she reverenced him. Now, this is not something you organize. I know people organize different things about kneeling and all these different things, but this reverence put her at his feet. Something else put her at his feet. Affection. She truly loved him. And this affection put her at his feet. And something else. Humility. The very fact that she anointed his feet with that costly ointment and then wiped his feet with her hair indicates her humility. She considered it a great honor to even be sitting at his feet. And something else I see there, great and close attention. She wasn't there to teach, she was there to learn. She wasn't there to contribute, she was there to receive. She was learning of him. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And that's where she found her place, sitting at his feet, hearing his word. Hearing his word. All right, let's go on. Verse 39, Martha had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha, now Martha loved Christ. Let's not, you know, we're so prone to, if folks don't do things like we do, they're not saved. I get so tired of that. If folks don't see things like we see them, they're not saved. You know how that, if folks don't do like we do or see things like we do. Or they just not say, no, Martha knew the Lord. You want to hear a testimony? Turn to John 11 again. John 11. Let's listen to her out of her own mouth. John 11. When Lazarus had died, you remember she ran out to meet the Lord? Mary stayed in the house. And Martha ran out to meet him. Somebody said, the Master's come. She ran out to meet him. John 11, verse 20. Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. That's faith, confidence. And I know this, even now, whatsoever you ask of God, he'll give it to you. That's faith. Jesus said, thy brother will rise again. Martha said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. That sounds like pretty strong faith, doesn't it? She believed. She believed it. But look what it says here. But Martha, verse 40, Luke 10. Let's go back to the text. But Martha, see, contrary to Mary, the Lord was a guest in the home. He was sitting evidently in the living room or the parlor or the sitting room with disciples about him. And here sat Mary to speak. That's where she usually was, trying to get all she could get from him, hearing him. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving. Now, as I said, Martha loved the Lord. She believed him. But Martha was drawn away from Christ, from his feet, and from hearing his word. She'd heard, and she believed. She was quick to tell you what she believed. Quick to tell you what she believed. But now she was taken up with something else. Instead of sitting at his feet and being served, she was now serving the Lord. She was cumbered. The word means distressed about many things. Many things. She was providing for him. She was doing it in sincerity and honesty and love. She loved him. She believed him. But she felt this is what she ought to do. She left. I imagine there was a time she sat at his feet too. But now she graduated, evidently. She was now busy serving, cumbered about with much serving. I know what she was doing. She was ordering the servants about and their work. She was going about to get the house just right, you know, like a guest so great, you know. I expect she spent a lot of time cleaning that room, getting everything just right and setting the table. She wanted the food to be the best, and she was seeing that everything was in proper order, and all of these things were important to her. And she felt they were important to Christ. And they distracted her thoughts, and they put her in great concern. Great concern. She thought these things were important to the Lord and to his people, and she was busy doing what she thought she ought to be doing. Cumbered about, distressed about, taken up with much serving. And watch what this leads to. And he says, and she came to him. She came to him. She came out of the room where she was. Now, I'll try to get this picture in my mind, and I'm not certain that I have it down perfectly at all. But I see he's in the room here, and our great, wonderful Redeemer, our Lord, is teaching and talking, and the disciples are about, and Mary's sitting here at his feet. Everybody's listening to him. And someone stands in the door. It's Martha. And she came right to him. Dr. Gill said she didn't come and join Mary at his feet. That was not her mission. She's upset. She stood. She came to him and she stood as one who came to utter a complaint. She had a complaint. And she stood also as one who intended to leave again. She didn't come and sit down. She didn't come and kneel down. She didn't come as one ready to be taught. God deliver me from such an attitude. I read about a pastor recently who said he'd finished his education. graduated from college and the seminary, finished his education. I didn't even start it yet, and I'm 65 years old. I bet I'll never graduate. You either. But Martha evidently graduated, Ronnie. She'd evidently figured she knew. She'd heard him, you know, and she's in there now serving him. And she came and stood there. Now, notice her complaints about Mary, but she didn't address Mary. She never spoke to Mary. You would assume that she would have come in there and said, Mary, that's her younger sister anyway. And I expect she had ordered her around before. But she didn't say a word to Mary. Not a word. She came and she said to the Lord, she addressed the Master. She addressed the Master. And she addressed him as if he did not show the concern for her that he should. And she said, Lord, I want you to listen to this. This really shocked me. I've read it 100 times, I guess, but I read it yesterday and it just, Lord, don't you care? Lord, don't you care? Those two things don't go together, Mike, do they? Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to work and serve alone? Don't you? What a serious charge to bring against our Lord, who said, cast your care upon me, I care for you. Who said, I'll never leave you and never forsake you. Don't you care? Now think about the disciples. You know, he was back there in the back of the boat asleep. You know, it's amazing, surprising what attitudes we develop sometimes when we feel like that we're being neglected. Oh, we can get ugly, can't we? When we feel like that we're being neglected, we feel like that we're not getting all the attention we ought to get, or being used, or God's not blessing, and here she came in there. And this is a woman who loved Christ. She's a saved woman. She knew Christ. He was in her home. She had received him into her home. She was working, serving him. She was late. She wasn't back there in the kitchen because she loved kitchens. She was back there fixing him something to eat and all his friends. But it's surprising when we feel that we're being neglected or not being recognized or something, we just develop some bad attitudes. And you know, the disciples were back there, our Lord's back in the boat asleep, and the storm arose, and they came back and said, Lord, don't you care? That's awful. Don't you care that we perish? And that's the way Martha addressed it. I'll tell you, it's possible, and I refer to myself and you listening, and it's possible that we can become engaged in projects, religious projects and religious activities and religious directions that seem very important to us. Very important to us. Maybe what Martha was doing was very important to her. She was dedicated to it, devoted to it. It was important to her, and she felt like she was serving the Lord. She felt like that he approved of it. She felt that way. Yes, she did. And it's possible that we can become so involved and engaged in religious doings and activities and directions that seem very important to us, about which the Lord really doesn't care. He cares for us, but not about what we're doing. He never ceases to care for us. But he was sitting in here doing teaching, doing what these people needed to have done, teaching them the word, and Mary was sitting there at his feet listening and learning, and here an interruption comes in from a dear, devoted, loving disciple named Martha who accuses him of not caring because he's not interested in what she's doing back there. You know, one time he was sitting on the well, having talked to that Samaritan woman, and the disciples had hustled downtown, they got some food together, and they'd got all these things together, and they came back out, and they found him still sitting on that well talking to that woman. And then she left. And they came up and they gave him the food. Eat, master, we got this food. Why don't you eat? They were grieved because he didn't eat. He turned to them and said, I've got meat to eat you don't know anything about. And that's what Martha didn't know. He had meat to eat while she didn't know. She thought that she had to provide it, you know. And so here she brought this charge. And here's something else amazing right next to this. She even told him what to do. She came in there and stood before him and said, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that my sister, she didn't call her Mary, my sister. You girls ever do that? My sister. She was upset, wasn't she? But now remember who this is. And don't say she's lost or anything like that. This is a lovely woman. This is a dedicated, this is a busy woman. A busy woman. And she's busy about her activities, though not his. And she's upset because he didn't put his approval on it. I think there's a lot going on in religion, even by people who love Christ, that upon which he has not put his approval. And she came in there and she said, now you, she told the Lord what to do. You know, his mother, when they wanted wine at the feast, she said, whatever he says to you, do it. She didn't tell him what to do. But Martha did. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Tell her to come over here. I think sometimes folks may be better off where they are than where we want them. Mary was a lot better off where she was than where Martha wanted her. And Jesus answered, all right, let's go ahead. Look, Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. I wish I could say that like he said it. Martha, Martha. He called her by her name, and he repeated it, which expressed great intimacy. That's right, great affection, great friendship. If she had not been one of his dear, dear friends and disciples, he probably would have ignored her. He didn't answer the Pharisees. He didn't answer Pilate. But he answered Martha because he loved her. And he said, Martha, Martha. That's affection. That's intimacy. Twice. All right? Also, it shows something else. Pity. That's right. Pity. Great pity. Great concern. Martha. Martha, how can you be so foolish? That's what he said. Martha, how can you, in the life that you have, how can you be so concerned about those things? In the life that you have, in the knowledge that I've given you, how can you still... He said that to his disciples so many times. Oh, you have little faith, how long am I going to put up with you? Martha, how can you be like this? How can you act like this? You know better. Martha, Martha. You're out of character, totally. This is not Martha. Is this my Martha talking to me? You're out of character. How do we get out there like that? And I'm sure he would say, Martha, how can you? Martha, Martha, pity, compassion, concern. How can you miss the great things and be taken up with the mundane? How can you, Martha? Why aren't you in here? Those things can be taken care of by somebody else. Let the dead bury the dead. I got some land I got to see. I got a father to bury. I've got a wife to... Let the people take care of that that's concerned about that. Why aren't you in here listening? Why aren't you in here learning? You're spinning your wheels over nothing. Martha, but he didn't stop her. He had not stopped her. He didn't call her in there. She came in there. He didn't call her in there. He didn't say, come in here now and sit at my feet like Mary and learn something, Martha. You got a lot to learn. No, he left her in there. And he'll leave you in your activities. That's right, because we got to learn some things. He didn't stop her from what she was doing all this time. He was teaching. Those that wanted to learn were in there. Those that were hungry were in there. Those that were desirous of his fellowship were in it. She was out there working. And he left her alone with all her activities and wheel spinning and talk and debate. He just left her alone. But now she's made an issue of it. So he's going to use it for her good and for our good. And he says to her, Martha, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things. I'm sure she was. I just sat in my office and tried to figure out what all she was doing. She was mistress of the house. This was her house, and he was there, the great guest. And I just imagine some things had gone on even before he got there. I'm sure that after he did arrive, she went outside and got rid of all the curious neighbors that were all gathered on the place. Now, y'all just get going here. The Lord's here to visit with us, and we're going to have some good times together. And y'all just run along now, and you can come some other time. Everywhere he went, there was a crowd. She said, this is a private gathering. You know, close communion. Y'all just get along now. This is something special. And I expect she had a guest list. I expect she had a certain amount of food, and she had a guest list. I'm sure not aware that he could take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and take care of a whole lot more people than she could with all of her week's supply. But I imagine she had a guest list of those she thought were saved and knew the Lord. I know a lot of folks who have their guest list. And they know who's saved and who's not. And she made sure that they were there. And then I expect she was instructing the servants to put up fresh flowers and set the best china and the finest napkins, the monogram napkins, clean the dining room, arrange the seating. I'm sure Martha arranged the seating. She had the table all set, and the Lord's going to sit at the head. And she was careful about who sat on his right and his left. I'm just imagining she fixed that up. And I imagine she was going to sit at the other end. She had that all arranged. She's an organizer, you see. Martha was an organizer. Everything had to be. My dear friend, Brother Barnard, I just loved him so much, but he just worried me to death wanting me to help him organize the Sovereign Grace movement one time. Let's elect some officers. Let's get it organized. Let's get a secretary treasurer. Let's get some bylaws and constitution. Let's get this thing organized. That's what Martha was doing. Let's get this thing organized. She really thought she knew what ought to be done at this gathering of the Lord and his disciples. Who should be where and who should be doing what? She was the great organizer, like John Wesley tried to organize Whitfield's ministry. She was skilled at getting things together. That's what our Lord said about her here. You're careful. You're careful. You take care of details. You want everything put in proper order, like these. You know, these Spurgeon said one time that these books on systematic theology, he said, I suppose they serve their purpose, but the problem with them, he says, they put all the tulips here together, and all the mums here together, and all the roses here together, and all the pansies here together, and all the marigolds here together, and all the pine trees here together, and all the oak trees over here, and it just messes things up. The Lord takes all of the glories of his grace and mercy and blends it together and makes it so beautiful. But we organize it. Got to be right on everything, you know. You got to be cut and dry. Give everybody pink sovereign, dear God. Let them read it and kiss them goodbye, you know. Get it all fixed up. There's Martha. She's fixing it all up. And he said, you're careful and you're troubled about many, 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 many things. But! Oh, I like this. But one thing is needful. And Martha, if this one thing is there, everything else will be all right. Everything. I mean everything. And if this one thing is missing, everything else is in vain. That's what he's saying. Martha, Martha, you are troubled and careful about many things, but one thing is needful. What is that one thing? Well, he said Mary's chosen it. That good part. Where was Mary? Sitting at his feet, looking into his face and hearing his word. And that's the one thing needful. I'll tell you, religion, I believe the best thing in the world we could do for this whole religious generation is take every one of them together and put them in a big barn somewhere. Take all their soul winning and activities and running and organizing and entertaining and all that. You take it all away from them. Just shut them up in a big barn and preach the gospel to them. We need some, they say we need more activity. We need more inactivity on our part and sit at his feet. Now that's exactly, this is the one thing needful. And that is to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ reverently, humbly, attentively, lovingly, and hear his precious word. And that's what I want to do here. I'm trying to do, and by God's grace, we'll keep trying to do. Back there in the Sunday school this morning, we'd covered 19 verses in 1 Corinthians 15. Out here in the auditorium, I read about 30 verses from Romans 8. Back there in the study tonight, Chuck read Isaiah 55. We went over here tonight. Tom has read Proverbs 3. And we've gone over here with now in Luke 10. Let's sit at his feet. What do you do for your young people? Well, we're not going to organize them and promote them and entertain them. We're going to let them sit at the feet of Christ and study his word. That's the one thing needful. One thing. And it's needful for young Mary, and it's needful for Elder Martha. It's needful for the servant. It's needful for the mistress. It's needful for the minister. It's needful for the student. By hearing his word, let me show you this, and I'll come to a close. By hearing his word, faith comes. We're not going to get faith rattling pots and pans. We're not going to get faith organizing religion. Our faith, the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how faith grows. You want faith to increase, get into God's word. From faith to faith, from one degree of faith to another. Comfort. In our trials, a lot of people liked the message this morning. I'll tell you why you liked it. It was God's word. It's God's promise. I didn't give you any recipe for recovery, a recipe for rest. I gave you a promise of God. You went away rejoicing. That's it. Comfort one another with these words. Growth in grace. How are we going to grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ? Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow. Where are we going to get any hope? David said, in thy Word do I hope. Boy, Mary sat there at his feet. And her heart just bounded as her faith increased, her hope increased, her assurance increased. That's where assurance comes from, the Word of God. And that's what our Lord said, Martha, one thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that. Mary chose it. Now Mary, both these girls knew the Lord, both loved the Lord, both were saved, but Mary saw what was really needful. Mary knew folks had to eat, but she felt like that feeding upon his word was more important. Mary knew that the house must be clean, but Mary felt like that it was more important for her heart to be cleansed by his blood and his word. Mary knew that there were things to be done, but Mary knew he had to do something for her. Mary knew that in his own way and his own purpose that everything was going to be all right even if she sat there. Didn't she? Martha was afraid. that it wasn't going to work out. You say, well, she believed the Lord was sovereign. I know that, and you do too. I hear people say, pray like it all depended on God and work like it all depends on you. I don't buy that philosophy. I believe in prayer or activity. It still all depends on Him. And I can just sit at His feet. This church, we don't need to organize anything. We don't need to have business meetings. We don't need to have committees. We don't need to have these things. All we need to do is sit here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and hear these men read and preach and pray and give out the Word of God, and everything will be all right. God will regulate our homes, and He'll regulate our attitudes, He'll regulate our lives. But now just as sure as we start organizing and promoting and all these activities, we're going to get messed up. That's right. That's what messed Martha up. Mary chose the good part, and Mary knew. But you got to tell people what to do. He'll tell them what to do. He'll tell us. But He'll supply the grace to do it. And He said this about Mary. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, and it'll not be taken away from her. It'll not be taken away. I tell you, all these other things are going to fade and pass away. Pass away. But this won't be taken away. Now then, I kind of regret that this ends right here. I kind of regret that we have no response from Martha. Do we? She's standing there. And she's come in a huff. How would you think ladies think she stood? She had on an apron. You suppose she had her hands on her hips? How do you suppose she folded her arms? Just how do you think she was standing? When she had, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left all the serving to me? Bid her get up and come back and help me. And that's when He said, Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about and troubled and careful about many things. Martha, one thing's needful. And you need to straighten this out now. And Mary's chosen it. Stay where you are, Mary. And she's chosen it. And she's not going to lose what she's doing. You know what I believe? I believe Martha's not like us. Martha was rebuked. You know what, John, what I believe she did? I believe she folded those skirts and sat down right there. I believe she did. I believe she took it like it ought to be taken. And she didn't have a but. I think nothing said. At least she just closed her mouth and sat down. And she pocketed by it. And that's what I want to do. I want to shut my mouth and sit down at His feet and take rebuke. Take it. Because it comes from Him. All right, that all right? So whatever you get out of that, God bless it to your heart. All right, Mike, what do you want to sing?